Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we give you a message from truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this program at 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have an extensive website, churchofchrist.harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs on MP3 files that can be downloaded, and also all our TV programs that can be viewed at your leisure. We also have a host of other related Bible material, including Bible correspondence courses and home Bible studies that we offer. If you just tell us what you need, we'll be more than happy to help you in any way we can. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come and worship and study God's Word with us. All we want you to do is to see the need to have God in your life. We are examining an overview of the Bible, and we are now currently in the last book, the Book of Revelation. We are looking at the seven churches of Asia, and we are now down to our fourth church, the church at Thyatira. This is in Revelation 2, beginning in verse 18. And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has the eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. As for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will give to each one according to your works. Now to you I have said, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depth of Satan, as they say, I will put no other burden, but hold fast to that which I have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed in pieces like a potter's vessels. And I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Thyatira was located about 30 to 40 miles southeast of Pergamos, and it was the location of the third church we looked at last week. Thyatira was a wealthy city, situated on the river Lycus. This city was noted for its manufacture of purple dye and dye garment. You may recall Lydia, the first convert in Philippi, was from this city, a seller of purple, according to Acts 16:11-15. Thyatira had many temples built for idolatry worship. The chief was Apollo, in whose name games were instituted later. Thyatira was also a trade center, noted for its powerful guilds, much like the labor unions of our day. If a Christian wanted to get ahead financially, it was almost of a necessity to be a member of these trade guilds. The downside was that these guilds also were connected with idolatry. It was not uncommon for the meetings in those guilds to include eating meats sacrificed to idols and for all manners of debauchery in honor of their god to be engaged in after their meetings. If one belonged to a trade guild, it was assumed he worshipped the god of the guild. This posed a great problem for the faithful Christian. Notice in the beginning of this letter, it gives a self-description of Christ. Notice, he has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. His eyes were piercing. They witnessed all that men did before him, both then and now. We must remember the sobering fact of Hebrews 4:13 that we are naked and open to him whom we must give an account. What he saw in the city made him have righteous indignation at the immorality and the corruption that was so prevalent in the city. His feet were like fine brass, implies the strength and power he has to carry out the threats against those who refuse to repent and will not turn away from the evil. But yet he gives them words of commendation. He says he knows their works in verse 19. Insomuch as faith is demonstrated by works, according to James 2:18, Christ was mindful of what they had done or not done, whether they be few or many, out of love or spite, scriptural or unscriptural, nothing has changed. He still knows, Matthew 6, verse 8. Love is mentioned in verse 19. Their motive was correct, and he commends them for that. Service follows this as well as it should. It must be the motive for the things that we do. This always prompts true obedience. We can read that in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All knowledge and good works means nothing if it's not motivated by love. He commends their service in verse 19. Brethren serving God and their fellow man. These folks were not sitting on their hands waiting for the other guy. Busy in the Lord's work, active, diligent, they were concerned. They were letting their light shine, as we're commended to do in Matthew 5:16. What we to do in our service in the Lord says much about our commitment to Him. They had faith. Faith is a must, Hebrews 11:6. These brethren had based their faith on the evidence, just as we must, according to Romans 10, verse number 17. Faithfulness and fidelity spoke much about these brethren and their relationship to God. They were patient, verse 19. This is a quality needed for all who desire to be partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1, verse 4 and 6. Another word for this word is perseverance. God's faithful children don't go down without a fight. They keep on keeping on. Faith and patience have been linked together before. Read Hebrews 10, 32 through 39. When it is all said and done, the height of patience depends on the depth of one's faith. The last are more than the first. These brethren were making progress. Unlike the church in Ephesus, they had not forgotten the first works. Spiritual growth is a must for any church. Read 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Must move forward. We always must be moving forward, as we have instruction in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. The longer a local church exists, the greater their work should become. Often the opposite is true, I'm afraid. So many times after a church gets a building, becomes self-supporting, gets a little money in the bank, the members begin to slack off, losing some of the original fervency. Please understand, this is a warning sign for any of God's people to be careful of. Yet they have some problems. So there are some words of condemnation. He talks about that they allowed Jezebel to teach and beguile his servants. In the first century, men and some women were imparted with spiritual gifts through the laying on the apostles' hands, as we can read in Acts 8, verse 14 and 18. The four daughters of Philip prophesied, according to Acts 21, 8 and 9, and existed during the days of the infant church while the New Testament scriptures were in the process of being revealed. Upon the completion of the scriptures, such gifts would cease, according to the teaching of 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Some claimed to have these spiritual gifts, but they were liars. We read that when some claimed to be apostles in Revelation 2, verse 2. A woman at Thyatira called herself a prophetess. The Lord had another name for her, Jezebel. This name was probably applied symbolically to order to illustrate her wickedness, like the Jezebel of the Old Testament in 1 Kings 16, 29 through 34. The name Jezebel meant wickedness. That name to this day is synonymous with wickedness. She brought Baal worship into the land among God's people in the days of Ahab. Jezebel is so wicked that her name has become a personification of evil. This woman in Thyatira was leading God's children to commit vile sins, sexual immorality, eating things sacrificed to idols, which was forbidden, opposite of what righteous conduct God demanded from his children. Yet the Lord gave her time to repent, but she refused to repent. She refused the pleading of the Lord and would not. This example illustrates the deceitfulness of sin and the hardened capabilities that sin has if it's not repented of and turned from. Hebrews 3:13. The warning is that he will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit the sin with her. God does not make idle threats. This is so-called prophetess and her followers will be cast into a sick bed of great tribulation. Repentance is the only thing which can save them from this fate. In view of the second death in Revelation 21, verse 8 that we discussed earlier this month, this is man's only alternative to sin. This is a strong lesson to the dire consequence which befall a congregation of God's people that tolerate false teaching and false conduct and do nothing about it. The sinner must not be tolerated. Evil and false teaching must not be listened to and must be exposed and removed. Why? Because the danger that it presents to others to lead them away. Read Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. The Lord's church is His house, and we must maintain the purity of that house, and we do that by cleaning it spiritually, by removing those people who are working and doing things that are contrary to His will. It's called scriptural discipline. He then exhorts the faithful in verse 24. And contrary to popular belief, we need not learn the deep things of Satan. Rather, we need to learn the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. He will allow us not to be overburdened. We read that in His great invitation in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Within our abilities and according to His will, according to 2 Corinthians 8, 12 and 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. They needed to hold fast till He comes. That means they needed steadfastness. That reminds us of the words in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. To be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that we know that our labor is not in vain. And then he talks in verse 26 and 27 about consolation to the faithful that overcome. Again, the promise is made to those who overcome. What does it mean? Power over nations, to rule with a rod of iron. While this book is symbolic in nature, let us never forget that faithful Christians, even while in the flesh, are able to reign in this life through Jesus Christ, Romans 5, verse 17. We are given power even now to resist the devil, James 4, 7. Influence others for good, Matthew 5, 16. To live for Christ, Philippians 1, 20 and 21. To overcome evil with good, Romans 12, 21. To win souls for Christ, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. To cope with our thorns in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9. And to know that He is always there and He will never leave us, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. In verse 28, he said he would give them the morning star. Jesus is the bright and morning star in this letter, according to Revelation 22, verse 16. Hence, this is probably an allusion to every spiritual blessing that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Also, the morning star heralds the arrival of a new day. The ones who overcome will be given a new day. Wonderful promises which God can deliver on. And it's up to them to hear His message and to act accordingly to the instruction that He gives them. And so as we end the second chapter, we see that this is another unfaithful church that has some work to do, that has some correction that it needs to make in order to find themselves at being right with God. And so in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, we have looked at the first five churches that are mentioned in the scriptures the first four churches that are mentioned. We've looked at Ephesus, we've looked at Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, and we have seen that there are things that they have to do in order to make their life right with God. These letters are written in order to encourage them to make the course correction for the three of the four that we've studied thus far, and that they might be in a proper relationship with God. But the only way that that can be accomplished is by overcoming perseverance, steadfastness, love, and faithful obedience. It was true then, it is true today. We need to be faithful, steadfast, and committed to God, to His cause, and to His ways. And when we practice faithful obedience, He will give us the means to overcome, and we will receive the promises. Thank you for listening. We will continue our discussion next week as we look again at another one of the seven churches. Have a blessed day.